As you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day and time that you've got us here. Lord, I thank you for being with us and guiding us and leading us and working in us, Lord. And I thank you for all the wonderful things that we're being able to see. And Lord, place it in our hearts to not get distracted, not be looking at other things that we ought to be, when we ought to be looking at you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you and thank you for it in the name of Jesus right now. I plead the blood over this outreach that no attack from the enemy could penetrate in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. It's going to be an awesome time tonight. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that our prayers are answered before we even speak them. And we praise you for that too, Lord. Glory be to God. We praise you, Lord, for those that can be with us. And Lord, we ask that you bless those who can't be with us. Lord, be with Pat and his family as they travel. And take them where they're going and get them back with no problems. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request or a testimony? Thank you.
I pray about the weather warfare stuff that's going on. I see there's I don't know if you guys have been watching the news and stuff. There's a dam. Look at my history here. There's a dam up in Minnesota that's we don't have it here. What is it? Part of it was broken. I mean, started this from water erosion. It went around the dam and started taking out the whole, you know, structure of the foundation along the river. And one house at least has been destroyed. And I guess they had like, I don't know how many inches of rain and stuff. So the work's been really, really difficult. And there's more threats on that too.
Is it an earthen dam?
It's Rapidan Dam. Rapidan.
No, I mean, is it made out of earth? Is it made out of dirt or is it made out of concrete?
No. No, it's made out of concrete, but
okay.
You know how the dam goes, goes across, you know, yeah. The river, right? So, but on one side of the river, it took out like all kinds of the erosion from all the water, it went around, it started breaking apart around the dam on the side. Mm-hmm. And at least one house has fallen into the water, it's gone, and there's more threatening there. And that's one thing that's up in, I think it's up by Minnesota, in Minnesota area. And of course, there's all kinds of problems with flooding around upper northwestern part of Iowa, the Dakotas, I mean, all kinds of places are doing that. And then I saw that there's another huge storm. This storm will be huge, and it's the Dakotas and Wisconsin and Minnesota and down through the Midwest again, Nebraska, Colorado, it's like Wyoming and down south, Missouri, Illinois, and just up around the Great Lakes, just this huge thing. It's got this big red mark. So I just want to pray about that, about this weather warfare and what they're doing. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you give us authority over all the power of the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in hearts of people. Do all things after the counsel of your will and for your good pleasure, Lord. And we pray your mercy and grace on these people in the Midwest, all this farmland area, all of these homes and properties and their livelihoods, just everything that they're doing, Lord, to cause destruction. And we just command all that to fail. And we bind up the works of darkness. We bind up their weapons of destruction, these weather warfare weapons. And we command it to fail. We lose the angels to bring down this evil wickedness. Whatever is not your will, Lord, I speak failure to it in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Lord, for drawing people to Jesus. Lord, you'll use these judgments the way you use them. And I pray your protection on your elect through these areas, Father. And I bind up and cast down all the threats of tornado activity and damaging winds and all their curses that they're spewing out of their mouths and saying how bad it's going to be. I say it's not, in Jesus' name, because of your mercy, God, and your grace. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for saving people alive. And there'd be great testimonies, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I believe. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for saving all of your elect. Father, let me make some wonderful testimonies of your grace and your mercy, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Well, I've got a little testimony. We had a rain this morning. Even I played last night, we could see where the clouds were going to go, looked like they were going to go north of us and not get any rain. But we played last night, Lord, we need some good slow rain. And he did. He gave us, I don't know, probably close to a half, and it's not quite a half, but it was enough to keep the grass going and garden going. So praise God for that. All right, Andrew.
Well, I think the Lord gave me a personal vision.
That's so, right.
You know, when you see me on Tuesday, I'm sitting in my chair over there. That's where the vision took place. It was Wednesday morning. Woke up later than usual. Thought it was going to be a regular day. Started my day the way I usually do it. I went into my Bible study and I said, well, I'm going to have a look at the witnesses in the book of Revelation. So I was going to read from 10 to 14 and try to compare the stories between the chapters. And I fell asleep. I fell asleep. So I don't know if it was a dream or a vision. And in my dream, I thought it was my big brother on my right side here. And I was going, well, what's he doing here? He never comes over, you know. He's 13 years older than me. And I was going, who is it? Why are you coming to me? You know, and I had a Bible on my lap. And you know, there's the facing page here, and then there's the other page. But this facing page was gold paper. Gold. You see, because I was always struggling with something. And the Lord reads your mind, you know. He knows what's going on in your mind. And what I was struggling with was, I guess I was a little disturbed that the Christians have to die, you know. Like, that don't sound like physical death. Some of them have to go through that, eh? In the tribulation time and in the great tribulation. And I was just thinking it wasn't right, or, you know, it. Does this mean you want me to go through martyrdom, Lord? Or, you know, it's just an ongoing thought. It's not that I was addressing him. Perhaps I was sometimes. So he told me in this vision, looking at my Bible, and he said, okay, have a good look at her on this facing page, because there was a bunch of gold pages, you know, and I said, that looks about to be 20 sheets there. And I was looking, and I said, I can't really see the printing, you know. I can't see the writing. And he says, have a good look. It's Psalm 115. And then I said, okay, and I have to bring the Bible closer to my face to see it, you know. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I go, I can't see it. The shininess of the gold and the black type isn't dark enough, you know. And I said, I can't see it. And I said, because I thought it was my brother, you know, and I do refer to Jesus sometimes as my big brother. I'll tell you what, I'm in my chair. I know my laptop's right in front of me. I'll look it up on the eSword. And then my eyes opened and the vision or slash dream ended, and it was right there in the first verse. It's actually, the whole chapter was really great. You know, it was talking about idols, gold and silver, talking about how the people who make these idols are going to be like them. And of course, today we know an idol can actually be something you have an agreement with. So it's a person, place, or thing. And the first verse said it all right there to me, you know, on it's not true. It's not because of us. It's because in his name, his glory of his name. I can't remember exactly how the verse goes. So he answered that for me there to magnify and glorify his name is why we're here. And it's not because of us. It's because of him. You know, it's not our sufficiency. It's not our commendation that we get. I knew that because it says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So I guess he was trying to show me this from some of the teachings he was teaching me, because you're supposed to pretend that Jesus is still around and he's teaching you anyway. So I guess that's what the vision was all about. And it was just wonderful that he gave me a vision. Praise God. And then I went, wait a minute. This is a gold sheet of paper. I'm from a printing past. So what's on 114? Because if I flip, because it was one psalm per page, okay, and it was in gold, and I went, if I flip this, and Psalm 114 is like way out there, you know, it's really cool the way it's worded anyway. And I was going, well, maybe I should read the next 20 previous psalms, and I went all the way to Psalm 95, and I had a good time with it all and stuff, but Psalm 114 was pretty cool anyway. So I'm just glad he gave me that vision. I haven't been really reading the Old Testament too much, but he showed me something there in that psalm. And I try to remember the things that were taught through the types and shadows, and how you have to spiritualize the word that's in the Old Testament when you bring it over into our New Testament covenant. Anyway, so I thank God for that. I thank God for a vision. He showed me a vision or a dream. And the dream vision, I call it.
Amen.
Praise God. It was neat, you know. He actually told me it was Psalm 115, you know. I think I saw the title, Psalm 115, but the words, I couldn't see them in the vision. You know, I had to actually look it up. And of course, I saw some nice things in there when I did look it up. So, praise God. Glory to God.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to look at that a little bit later on. That 115 is amazing, too. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I didn't get many praise songs from anybody, except for Julie and Missy, and Anna, that was mine too.
I forgot.
That's no excuse, Barbara.
Go stand. Do you want me send? You want me send you one now? I'll send you one now.
Text it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. When I'm already on it, texting is better.
I forgot too. You didn't remind us.
Well, I have the mind of Christ. I don't know about y'all. I just have to place it y'all.
I'll text you one too.
Okay. No, I be honest with you. I forgot too, Missy, and all of y'all. Julie had to tell me. I forgot.
I got my chapter 6 already.
Well, we're going to, hey, here's the deal. If we get through time, we'll go over that.
You know, I think you should read the three last paragraphs from the last chapter we read, because there were really good stuff in those last three paragraphs.
I know it. I know it. We can do that. We can do that. Yeah. Hey, Barbara, put it into chat. Yeah. Will's right. It'd be better in the chat. That way I could, just click on it. Yeah. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I have a little testimony. my dishwasher had been making some funky noises. And I don't know if it was making this noise before. I opened the dishwasher up and I saw on the bottom after it had went through a cycle and washed dishes that all the water didn't drain out. I was like, uh-oh, what's that? So I pulled out the filter in the bottom and that needed cleaned out. I had forgotten about that. I hadn't cleaned out for a while. But then I think it was after that that I noticed that next time or shortly after that, I was making this funky noise in the beginning of the cycle. And I'm like, no, I don't receive that. And Marl heard it too. And I just been praying against it. I'm like, nope, that's gone. My angel, command my angel to fix that in Jesus' name. And today I ran it, and for the first time in maybe a couple of weeks, I didn't hear that noise. Praise you, Jesus. It's fixed. Thank you, Lord. The little things, how much more the bigger things that he'll do for us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Terry.
I just kind of put Terry on the spot. She shared a testimony in our group chat, but not everybody here has probably saw that. Maybe she wants to share it.
You want to share that testimony, Terry? I'll take that as a note. Okay, Anna, where'd you go? I thought you fixed me. Like, oh, there she is. Did you have something, Anna? Or Matt? Oh.
This is Terry. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay. My kitchen sink was stopped up, and Jeff and I just prayed over it, and we just commanded it to be healed in Jesus' name. And nothing happened, but we went to bed, and then in the morning, it was completely well. I mean, I poured a whole bunch of hot water in, and it was fine. It's been working great, so... I think that's the first time we've ever had like something mechanical or whatever, not a person, but a thing being healed. So we were very excited.
Praise God. He does
it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. That's a good one. I hate when the sink gets stopped up. The Lord, we thank you for you. Supernatural Roto Rooters in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, amen. Anyone else? Praise God. You see what Monroe said? Monroe said, found a melanoma on my skin. Asked my family to pray for me, and it just dried up immediately. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Y'all ready to praise the Lord?
Did Matt and Anna have something? Their mic's open. I was just curious.
Well, I thought you did a while ago. You have something, Adam? Oh, there she is.
No, sorry. It just keeps kicking me off the computer, so I'm trying to figure out
what's going on.
I can't hear it, so sorry if I'm being distracting here, trying to get back on and off.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead. We're going to play some praise music.
For me and my house, we're gonna serve you. For me and my house, you'll get the praise. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. For me and my house, we're gonna worship. For me and my house, you'll get your way. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. We have set our homes apart for speak to the enemy. You can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, we take back our destiny, cause we belong. Come on, I'm singing this over your families tonight. I speak to the enemy. You can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, we take back our destiny, cause we belong. Come on, sing it again. Hey! I speak to the enemy. You can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority,
yeah. awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
We sing Jesus
again. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces and worshiped before the throne. They worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Can we join with heaven? Lift up your voices and say amen. We bless you, God. Sing holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is.
hearts filled with His love. Comforts me with His love. Those who wait on the Lord, whose strength He gives to them, gives them wings like the eagle, that they might soar with Him. He weaves His strength into our lives, the Spirit of
a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle. Let me be a sacrifice for those who are in need. Change my heart, change my heart today. Lord, without your power, it's all just good intention. Lord, without your grace, who could find redemption? Change my heart, change my heart today. Lord, loose the chains of oppression. Lord, set the captives free. Lord, fill my life with your compassion. Shine your light, shine your light, shine your light through me. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart. Work a miracle in my heart. Oh Lord. Today.
Thank you. London, if you know there's no other name higher than Jesus, somebody hike them!
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Set our hearts on fire.
Well, I hope y'all could keep up with that.
If I could do it, I would sing two songs at once.
Okay. What happened was I had two of them going. It looked like when I click it in the chat, it doesn't come on the other one. It makes another one. So we're going to have to do that again.
You had two tabs open, Michael. I saw them at the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honey. Of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the
was that the one that you had? This chat thing's not working. The chat thing is not working. It's got everything funkified on the DNA. Just write your name of the thing on it and text me to me. Because when I hit the chat, what it does, it brings up some similar stuff. I think that's it, right?
I sent you one, Michael. I texted you one.
Well, I thought I played it, Missy. Were you here?
You didn't play it.
You didn't give me a name, might as well. That's bad.
It's
when you text it to me, it has to have a name and the singer on it, because all I have is just the link there. It doesn't tell me what to type in here.
Oh, it doesn't tell you the name in that link? When you click on it?
When I click on it, it comes on my telephone, you see. It doesn't come on the internet.
Yeah, but when I send it, it says what it is.
No, it just, all it had was just a link.
Oh, I know what it is. It's that funky Apple stuff.
What it could be, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, let's see if we can get it.
I'll try again.
That's all right. I got it now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I got it.
Majesty, God of heaven.
Oh, wait a minute. I like this song.
And running like a child in open peace, I'm leaving comfort to chase your presence. That wind I felt before, I want to feel. I'm not bound, not bound to boxes. Since the fire of the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, this wild freedom, nothing can stop it. Since the fire of the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, it might look crazy from the outside, but I was born again to blaze a trail. Disappointment reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new. You're breaking off disappointment, reminding me where my joy is. I'm stepping into something new.
So that was one of my favorite songs. I like that one. I like the lyrics to it more than I like anything. Okay. Anybody got a song they want to sing? How about it, Barbara? You want to sing one? She ain't even gonna answer me.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not gonna sing one.
Oh, come on. All right. Oh. We had two paragraphs left in that Hidden Manna chapter last week. Why don't we go ahead and go through that? Man, I like this caught up to the throne. I went over it last week after Let's see. Everybody got the books? Let's see, you got your... All right. God made what was written in the eternal covenant in Hebrews 13 and 20. The church has made the same mistake Israel did in changing the covenant after it was made. Haven't you heard them say that the fivefold ministry or the supernatural gifts and power of God were done away with after the apostles? Liars! That's what David said. He says liars. It's all in capital letters. That means he's screaming it. Amen. The Bible colleges have turned out apostate teachers by the thousands that deny the clear teaching of the word. Most of the people consider them good men, but blood is on their hands, and they will be with their father Judas if they do not repent. The wicked will not be counted righteous when they speak lies in the tribulation. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified or counted righteous in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment or tribulation. This is why they will fall away, and I pray that you are not among them. I remember the testimony of a mainline denominational preacher that died and went to heaven, but the Lord told him, nope, you can't come in here. You're going to hell. But Lord, I built you good buildings. I built you fine buildings and for your church and all this stuff. He said, what's the fruit? That's not fruit. It's the fruit of Jesus Christ that I'm looking for. It's not you. So he went down to hell for a little while. And then the Lord sent him back here to tell us these mainline denominational churches that do not teach about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what he represents are in trouble. That's why God's coming to shake them. Shake them up. There's no power in those churches. If you don't have any power, how are your people going to be able to overcome sickness, death, and all of that? Okay. Anybody else got any comments? God does not reveal these things so that we can have a witch hunt. Even if you know who is a Judas, that doesn't mean you should treat them any differently. Jesus knew who Judas was, but treated him with equality, love, and training. Jesus knew he should have the same opportunity to prove himself so that as the son of perdition, it would be his own fault. Jesus also knew that Judas had a good purpose in the plan of God, which was to betray and make crucifixion of the flesh possible. I have learned these things from my own Judases, some of whom God has pointed out to me beforehand. Others I came to realize only after I felt the knife in my back. In effect, they are a great ally in the cause of the manifestation of our sonship, because crucifixion of self would not be possible without them. Well, that's so true. It's part of the process of maturing us and building our character in Jesus. When you go through these trials with these Judases and people like that. Go ahead, Ben.
No, when he said witch hunt, I underlined it And I said, we do it this way, John 3:17, you know, because it says there, think not I come into the world to judge the world. I came not to judge, but to save. So that's what really has to be in our heart to correct some of these people, I guess, because, you know, I also put, you know, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. But there's also the next verse that says, if ye receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. So that kind of collates with his John 3:4 too. Because it really has a lot to do with that letter of the word versus the spirit of the word. And I remember David Eales saying they had a real bad problem back in the Gospels for the letter of the word. And I went, yeah, they sure did. You know, when he said that in some teaching he had. And well, anyways, I just wanted to add that.
Maybe. All right, anyone else? Well, that concludes that chapter. Did everybody get my email with that copy of the call up to the throne room? Anyone not do it? Can we put it out of our hands? Let me see if we have any questions. Okay, good. Everybody got it. Okay, chapter 6, call up to the throne. Lord, bless us tonight as we go through this. Open up these revelations to us, Lord, and let us discuss the things that you'd have us to discuss. And get it down in our hearts, Lord, and I praise you for that, Jesus. Revelation 12 and 5. And she was delivered of a son, a man child. Can y'all hear me okay? Is my, okay, good. Who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Many think the man-child is about to fly away. This chapter will show how this first fruits company is caught up to the throne to minister to the church and the wilderness. And of all the types fruit, and the woman fed into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they, the man-child, may nourish her 1,260 days. Enoch, Moses, Aaron, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, Gideon, David, Elijah, Ezekiel, Jesus, Paul, and John are major types of the end-time first fruits man-child ministry. And there are many lesser types. We will also speak of the types of the bride, Esther, the Psalm 44 bride, and the Shulamite, the Song of Solomon. The man-child is both the earthly head and a member of the body of the bride, who is also led up to a throne with the man-child. Jesus, as head, will be manifested in an earthly body called the man-child to rule the bride and the larger church. The man-child is to the church what the false prophet is to the harlot. There are both corporate heads and members of those corporate bodies. If we put each of these man-child and bride types on a transparency and overlay them so that they are parallel, we will see a full revelation of the end-time man-child and bride. Just like a gospel parallel gives a full revelation of Jesus' ministry. Each of these and other types add a little to the full revelation of the end-time for those who will leave the milk. Isaiah 28:9, whom will he teach knowledge? and whom would he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, and you're a little barely. Amen. Anybody got any questions? What he's talking about is you put all of these man-child ministries and read them all. That'll give you a complete picture. And, of course, Jesus is in there, too. Yahweh. And it'll give you a complete picture of what the man-child is supposed to look like. Man-child ministry. All right. Who else wants to read? Okay, Andrew. That'd be okay. Go ahead. I said, who else wants to read? And I said, okay, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, believe it or not, I think I have the older version of this book.
Oh, David.
Pay attention to the following fruit parallels. Is that where we are?
Uh-oh. Gradually unveiled in this chapter. It's the, is you got the one that I gave you? That I sent you?
Yeah, but it's in my email.
Okay.
This is an older version.
That's okay. I'll go ahead and read here. Gradually unveiled in this chapter, we will see the fulfillment of the spiritual kingdom of Israel in the New Testament, according to the natural type of Old Testament Israel. And we will see the man-child and bride's relationship to the spiritual kingdom. The following types and parallels put the man-child and then the bride's experience together for us like a puzzle. Where a piece may be lacking in one type, it is revealed in the next. The combined experience of these man-child types speaks of a significant birth, rejection, overcoming in the personal wilderness, anointing, and first throne experience. Empowerment to provide, teach wisdom, save, heal, deliver, and bring the people halfway through the wilderness. Death to self and second throne experience and continue in a higher state of glorification to bring the people through the remainder of the wilderness to the promised land. And third, physical bone experience. This will be the experience of the end time man child. And the experience he will lead the bride to as her head, for history must repeat. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. The first, second, and third throne experiences correlates to the regeneration and empowering of the spiritual and body of the man-child. In order to prove these phases in the life of the man-child, we are first going to look at brief outlines of a few of the first fruits types. If we fully explain these brief types, this chapter would be a big book in itself. Keep in mind that the types are shown in the natural, but fulfilled spiritually. After this, we will look into the nature of these throne experiences and explain the typology more fully. Anybody got any questions? Anybody else want to read? Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I'll read for a while. Man-child and bride types. The first thing we discover from the types of the man-child is that he has a history before being anointed. Many are claiming this office without any such history. For instance, Moses, Abraham, David, Joseph, etc., faithfully kept the flocks that represent God's people before coming to rule with the greater anointing of their first throne room experience. With this knowledge of the following types of this experience will be in right perspective. Jesus was born of the woman, Israel, and was to receive the former reign anointing of the Holy Spirit as his first throne experience. He was tried in his own wilderness experience for 40 days and anointed to lead Israel, Luke 4:18. Kings received this anointing in the Old Testament as a type for the man-child ministry, 1 Samuel 2:10, 10:1, 1 Samuel 16:13. In 1 Samuel 6:13, David was anointed with the Holy Spirit to sit in the throne as king over Israel, as a type of Jesus and the man-child. Luke 1:32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus' work was to rule through Israel, bringing the disciples through the wilderness that he had been tried in. The word wilderness is translated desert in the Gospels. This is where Jesus taught, fed, and delivered the people from the curse. In type, he was then crucified to self, glorified, and caught up to the second throne experience. He then returned to minister to the disciples for 40 days, representing the 40 years between his resurrection and when the harlot Israel was destroyed in 70 AD. At this time, the disciples who were alive and remained fled to the mountains representing the promised land or heaven. In type, this is when Jesus, who promised to be with them just to the end of the age, was caught up to the third throne experience, which we will explain more carefully later. That's a lot there. Going on.
Has anybody got any comments? Any questions? Yeah, Ben.
What was the first throne experience?
Was the anointing of the man child.
So that's when he received the Holy Spirit after he got baptized?
Do what?
That's when he received the Holy Spirit after he got baptized and he went out to the wilderness. And that was his first experience.
That was the latter rain anointing that he received to begin the man-child ministry.
No, we're asking about Jesus' first throne experience.
Oh, yeah, he was baptized.
Okay.
Yeah, he received the Holy Spirit, you're right. Okay, let me stop.
You want me to continue?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. So after the third throne, okay, this third throne experience, which we'll explain more carefully later. Joseph was born of the woman, Israel, and was tried in his own wilderness experience as a type of the first fruits. He was favored more than all of his brethren by his father Jacob, whose regenerate name was Israel. Israel represented God to Joseph because according to Strong's Concordance, his name means he will rule as God. And he was also the father of all corporate Israel, just as Christ is the head of all corporate true Christianity. At this time, Joseph received two revelations that all of Israel bowed down to him as a ruler in type of the first throne room experience. That's in Genesis chapter 37, 1 through 10. Joseph also brought the bad report of his brethren's evil doings before his father, like Elijah did at his throne experience on the mountain. Joseph was rejected by his own people in Genesis 37, 2 through 4, 11, 18, 23, and 28. And the Egyptians. Like Jesus, he was falsely accused by the harlot, Potiphar's wife, and cast into prison where he preached unto the spirits in prison, which is referenced in 1 Peter 3:19. as a type of the dead. In type, by Joseph's word, the butler was resurrected and the baker condemned. Also, like Jesus, he was then caught up to the throne of Egypt as a type of the world in a second throne room experiences. Genesis 41, 40 through 44.
Amen.
Joseph preserved the people of God through the 7 years of famine, which was their own wilderness tribulation experience, verses 54 to 57. In type, he then went to the promised land with Israel in the totally dead to self state, where they carried his remains with them after 400 years of bondage as a type of the tribulation. That's in Genesis 15:13 and 50 verses 24 to 25. This was a type of going to the heavenly promised land in a third throne room, in a third throne experience.
Amen. Anybody have any questions? Any comments? Yeah, Vanita.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to get the, can we go back up to, let me see, where was it? When they were talking about the man child and bride types, where it talks about, like it says where Jesus was born of the woman Israel and was first to receive the former reign anointing of the Holy Spirit at his first throne experience. So that first throne experience is when he was baptized in the water by John and the Holy Spirit came upon him. That was his first throne experience, right? Is that right?
Wrong. Yes, that's
wrong. Sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Michael, was that right or wrong? I didn't catch it.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. Okay.
Yes.
So that was when he was, I got you. So that was when he was baptized. And that was, and then the second throne experience down later was, I'm just trying to get this clear in my head with the, cause I guess when I read chapter 12, I never thought of it as being more than one throne experience, but there's just three distinct throne experiences here in Jesus' life and also in Joseph and the other types. So I'm just trying to. Okay, so that was the first one. The second one in type, he was then crucified to self, glorified and caught up to the second throne experience. So that was when Jesus' work was to rule true Israel. So after they went through their wilderness experience, so that would be, all the time that he was teaching the disciples and they, I'm trying to figure out exactly what the second throne experience was. I'm getting confused.
Benita, I think, so the first throne experience, which is when he got baptized, right? And then he had his ministry and he taught his disciples and all that. Okay. Then he was then crucified to self, glorified and caught up to the second throne experience. And then he returned to minister to the disciples for another 40 days. That was after his death, burial and resurrection. There was that 40 days where he was, I think, right? That he appeared, he was seen by many people and he appeared. Is that right, Michael? When he was appeared, he appeared to many people and there was that 40. So.
Is that 40 days? That's the third or the second?
Second.
Okay. crucified the self.
And he, what happened? He came back in glorified body too.
Yeah.
That's a type of the shadow.
Right. So the second throne experience is when he was crucified on the cross. That's when he's caught up to the throne for the second experience. Okay.
Yes. And remember how he came back down. That's important. That's a key. Okay. He showed himself to the disciples and a bunch of other folks.
Okay, that's more clear to me now. I understand. And then the third one he's going to get into a little bit later in more detail. So now that's clear to me. I understand. Thank you very much.
Okay. And I believe we'll probably run through it again just a minute. Would you stop there?
You want me to continue?
Well, if you don't mind.
Okay, top of page 4. Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham was born from Babylon, and having left Lot in the sin cities of the plain, went through his wilderness to the heavenly promised land, which the Lord gave him as an inheritance and type of the first throne experience. Genesis 13:11-15. He then returned from the promised land to deliver Lot, a citizen of Sodom, who had been taken captive by the kings, which is a type of the man-child delivering the saints in the world, who will have been taken captive by the 10 king beasts of Revelation in Genesis 14. After delivering Lot, he went to the heavenly promised land and saw Melchizedek in the king's veil. That's in Genesis 14:17-18. And quoting Hebrews 7:1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham divided a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. This clearly makes Melchizedek a type of Jesus, who, after receiving his new body, is totally born from above and has no earthly genealogy. In type, Abraham, as the man-child, went to see the Lord in his third throne experience. I'm just pausing to see if there's anything to discuss in that part about Abraham. You're muted, Michael.
Probably best. There's a lot of what you just read here, and it's some of it spiritual, and we're taking it by the natural. And we got to look at it a little closer than what we first thought, you know. So, up on page 2, in the middle paragraph there where it says the first, second, and third throne experiences correlate to the regeneration and empowering of the spirit, soul, and body of the man-child. In order to prove these phases in the life of the man-child, we are first going to look at brief outlines of a few of the first fruit types. If we fully explain these brief types, this chapter would be a big book. And so keep in mind the types are shown in the natural, but they're fulfilled spiritually. After this, we will look into the nature of these trauma experiences to explain the topology more fully. I'm trying to think here. If I remember correctly, Jesus was born of the woman Israel, as I'm down at the bottom of the page too, and was first to receive the former rain anointing of the Holy Spirit as his first throne experience. He was tried in his own wilderness experience for 40 days and anointed to lead Israel. Look, the man child is going through his wilderness now. The man child ministry is going through his wilderness now before the tribulation starts. Because if you remember, the man child brings the bride into tribulation. He leads the bride into the tribulation because he's already gone through the tribulation.
So he's still in his first throne experience as far as
he's still in his first anointing experience. Yeah. That first throne experience is also the anointing of the latter rain experience. That's part of the latter rain experience. I'm thinking now, if I'm wrong, correct me.
But that hasn't happened yet. But that hasn't happened yet. So doesn't that happen in the second throne room experience when they go into the wilderness?
Well, what did he say? We just got through reading it a while ago. The second throne experience. Elisha was caught up in the second throne experience up into the heaven.
And then, caught up to the throne.
Yeah. Where was Jesus? His second throne experience was caught up to the throne, wasn't it?
Yeah, after his death.
At his death, he was called up to the throne.
Resurrection.
Then he came back down and gave instructions to the disciples. That's going to be, it's going to work, spiritually speaking, the same way. If we look at it in the natural, we're going to miss some stuff. So we have to look at this in the spiritual sense because, like he said, like the word tells us, is that, it's a type and a shadow of what's going to happen. Go ahead, Will. I hope we can hear you, buddy.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I don't want to speak any negativity. If I ask, can you hear me? It's an unbelief. So I'd rather just talk. What stood out to me was a totally dead state. And it was sort of like a prayer, whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you received it. But it's just like, Lord, bring us all to a totally dead state. That just stuck out. Lord, I pray that you will bring us all to a totally dead state. I ask that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And that's a difficult prayer to pray. It's a difficult prayer to pray.
Okay.
Sorry, Will, you can't take it back.
As I was praying, it was like, yeah, do you know what you're asking for right now? But it's like the flesh is already starting to fight it, but that's the only way. There's no lukewarm, eh? We just gotta pray for the grace to now receive what we prayed for. It's gonna probably come with a crucifixion, and I don't know, but I know it's necessary.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Has anybody got any questions on the first and the second throne experience in Shell Bonita? It has to be one that I can answer.
I'm sure you can. So you were saying right now, the man child in right, like today, if we were looking at just right now where we are today, the man child has or has not come to the first throne experience. I don't think he has, but maybe I'm missing it. Like, has he already been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay. Julie's saying yes.
Well, if my memory serves me correctly, when I talked to David about all of these throne experiences, the first throne experience is before you go into the tribulation. Has anybody got anything else on that? Yeah.
That would be John 16:21, born of the woman. She was in labor. And I think it's 16:21 where he mentions that.
Okay.
That's the first throne experience. That this woman gives birth to the child in John 16:21, and then he goes to Revelation 12 to explain it. But
okay,
he did give us an example of when he was in a car and he was coming down a mountain, and there was like a ridge in the middle, and he had to keep his tires in between. Then he came to the valley and he found these tools that were anointed tools for binding and loosing, screwdrivers, hammers, and wrenches, which is your key in the Church of Philadelphia to open and close doors. But, so he's talking about the man-child being birthed in Revelation 12. And that man child leads the woman to.
He comes out of the woman, yeah. That's the bride.
He comes out of the woman, and the woman gets to be led to her
wounds,
to her maturity, to her brideness, I guess, to her throne experience. Now, I don't know exactly how that goes. Does it go for each individual at a different time through the 3.5 years of the first 3.5 years? Or does it manifest itself at the beginning of the Great Tribulation? And my question is, at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, is there a throne experience there for some people right away?
As I said before, I believe I'm writing this, but I'm going to check with David, but the first throne experience is where you go up there to the throne, get the anointing to lead the bride, which is the latter day room, anointing for them, in my estimation. If that's the power to get them through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The second throne experience is when the man-child ministry goes up to the throne and receives the glorified body. I believe David taught this, to come back down and lead the second group of man-child ministry. Y'all remember him talking about the second group of man-child ministers? And that takes them through the second half of the 3.5 years to the rapture.
Now, I believe that's what David taught. Yeah, Bill.
Oh, I'm unmuted. So, first throne experience is for in our day. First throne experience for the man child that's coming today will be, he's in his, well, from what you're saying, he's going through his wilderness right now. And then he's going to get that full anointing. And then that's when he's going to be able to start teaching the first 3.5 years in tribulation. Yep. And then, let me finish. Halfway through, he's going to get a second throne experience.
Well, yes. During this first 3.5 years, that's when the man-child ministry teaches everybody faith and how to act on that faith and how to do the faith during that first 3. If they don't get it in the first 3.5 years, you've heard David say this many times. If they don't get it in the first 3.5 years, they ain't going to get it in the second 3.5 year as Gentile. The second 3.5 years, if you remember, is for the Jewish nation.
Hmm.
There'll be some that get it, but it is going to be so hard for the Gentile. Just like now, we have the Jewish, some of the Jewish people are coming to Jesus, but not very many. It's going to be the same way through the second 3.5 year of the tribulation. It's going to be real tough on Protestant Christians. Yeah, I agree.
So, from the dream that he had when he showed us, when he started climbing after he was in the valley and found his tools. And then he started climbing up the other mountain, which is Mount Zion. And he made it to the top and he saw Jesus in the throne room. That would be the first throne experience. And that's what the man child's going through now. He's climbing the mountain.
Yeah.
Get into the throne room. And when he gets there, that's when he's going to be helping people who perhaps are still coming off of the mountain of Babylon?
The helping them climb the mountain.
Or helping them climb the Mount Zion.
Stay okay. On the mountain.
Okay.
The wilderness for the bride and the man child is starting for the bride and is finishing for the man child. Because when the man child gets caught up to the throne, he's going to get the anointing, the instructions, and all of that stuff. It's going to be an automatic thing. At least that's what David has told me, and that's what I believe. And in the first 3.5 years, it's going to be the man child ministry discipling people. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead. Just go ahead and talk.
So where does the two witnesses fit in here? And
I have to think about that. We're not in that chapter.
Would that be after the second throne experience, though?
Let me think here just a minute, y'all. There's going to be people, you know, the two witnesses, as David taught, is a corporate entity. It's a corporate entity, and it's going to be probably. I'm not on that mindset right now, but I believe they'll be martyred throughout both parts of the tribulation, and that's going to be part of the bride, the disciples, all of them. That we've got people now getting murdered, you know, regularly. I know that didn't answer your question, but once we get into the two witnesses, we'll find out.
One other thing. Yeah. Peter, James, and John. Yeah. I referred to me once as we that are alive and remain. Forget it. Now, how does that fit in? Because I know that these people are are important for the end times because this is the Mount of Transfiguration. So I believe the Mount of Transfiguration is talking about the end times. Jesus is first on the mountain there, and he's, and there's Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
So these are the categories, I guess, for the end times, the seven last years.
Oh, which chapter is that? Let's not try to do everything at one time, because I have to keep my focus on what we're talking about, which is the man-child ministry. The man-child ministry goes through the whole 7 years of the wilderness, as does the bride. As does the bride. The disciples that they make during this are the witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, well, I couldn't be.
I'm going to be quiet now.
Okay. Well, no, that's not necessary. Go ahead, Julie.
I was thinking, this is how I was thinking about how the man-child's already had like his first throne and experience, and kind of like what Andrew was talking about, that dream about going up to the throne and then having to go down, you know, and all that. I was thinking as individuals who are being prepared for the man-child, they've had their first throne and experience because they are going out. They are doing the things that, you know, they're having their own wilderness experience now to qualify them, I guess, for the man-child ministry. Isn't the ministry is what we're talking about? The first throne and experience is supposed to happen. It's the man-child ministry as a whole, as a corporate. Because we all have the former reign anointing, and that's, you know, we're all going through our own wilderness right now. So I guess that's how I was thinking in my mind when Vinita asked about the throne room, you know, they've had their throne room experience. Their first one is, I say, yes, the individuals they have, you know, as far as having that anointing and going through their own wilderness in order to be able to lead others into the wilderness.
Well, according to what David has told me, is this first throne room experience that we're fixing to go, the man-child ministry we're fixing to go to, it's where the anointing takes place.
Yeah. The latter rain.
I'll have to clarify that, but I think so.
Former and latter rain, that they'll get that double anointing. Yes. They'll get the fullness anointing of the former rain, the fullness of the former rain, and then the latter rain.
That, if you remember, it's also, you have this DNA restoration also, which is part of the anointing, which is part of the anointing. And that's for the bride too. This is a big deal. If you miss the bride, you miss a lot. You miss a lot. And the way to get in the bride is just run after the Lord. That's all. Have faith to believe that you're in the bride. Have faith to believe that you're in the man-child. That's all it takes. But there's something that we all have to do. And he's told us that. No distraction, no YouTube, only Jesus. I got the sign right here. So
make us all overcomers, Lord.
Yeah, not only that, Lord, place it in our hearts to just run after you with all our heart and just stay in the word and keep the word going all the time. It's going to be a benefit, not only in your spiritual life, but in your physical life too. Okay, Joe, what you got, bro?
Makes me easy to understand is take Jesus as a man-child and his disciples as a bride. That's a type. Now, when Jesus sent these out, his disciples, he sent them two by two. When the witnesses start exactly where Jesus has sent them out, when it's in the first 3.5 years. So look at that type. That type should tell you how others are following. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And what did he send them out with? He said, I give you authority.
Yeah, yeah.
Over
that's why they're time. Calling it the two witnesses, Sharon.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you, Joe. Go ahead, Will.
Hopefully this is applicable. If not, criticism is always welcome. I was just thinking, when the tribulation hits, your level of your level of death to self and your authority and fruits of the Spirit, that's your defense. Your reaction to the press, the hard darkness, the pressings of the tribulation, your authority in Christ and your reaction, if you are going to defend self in any way, you are going to be out because it's going to be so dark in that 7-year period, your death to self. Yeah, that's just your defense. If you react in a violent way, you're going to be instantly taken out. I think it's going to be, if I'm right, I think it, yeah, most Christians are going to react and in a very self-defensive way, which is going to be the worst way to react in that dark time.
Yep, I believe it. Folks, I didn't realize that we're 10 minutes out of time here. But we was having a good time, though, wasn't it? Oh, my. The Lord, I thank you for putting this in our hearts and to just run after you, Lord, because if we run after you, you know what happened? Darkness leaves, fear leaves, anxiety leaves about what's coming up. Because oh, we know that you're with us, and we praise you for doing that for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, well, folks, we're out of time. Here's my deal.